concerned about your health, you should be outraged. Luckily, there's a new solution, the AlexaPure Pitcher. It reduces up to 99.9% of 92 contaminants found in tap water, stuff that can kill you, like lead, chromium-6, chlorine, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, and more. Order yours at waterwithangie.com, waterwithangie.com, or call 888-440-8150, 888-440-8150. Your water will taste great. It tastes so delicious, so pure, so clean. Again, AlexaPure Pitcher, waterwithangie.com, 888-440-8150.
A Fox News analyst is sticking by his claim that the British were spying on then-President-elect Donald Trump. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Andrew Napolitano was pulled off the airwaves last week after making the baseless allegation. Napolitano was back on Fox News Wednesday and was standing by his claim that a British intelligence agency called the GCHQ was spying on U.S. politicians. Napolitano said his sources are standing by the story and added, "I think a lot more is going to come."
A family organization is calling out Amazon for its plans to produce a 13-episode show about Playboy founder Hugh Hefner. Movie Guide says the production, which Amazon says will highlight Hefner's contributions to society, is actually going to promote pornography and ignore negative ways Hefner's actions have damaged American families. There's a petition to stop the show on their website, movieguide.com. Final government figures for the fourth quarter of last year showing the U.S. economy grew at 2.1%. This is USA Radio News.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa, international relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering. Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to FacingDarknessMovie.com. That's FacingDarknessMovie.com.
Former NBA star Lamar Odom's coming clean after completing rehab in San Diego. The 37-year-old former NBA player and ex-husband of Khloe Kardashian telling Us Magazine he's a walking miracle. Odom was found comatose in a Nevada brothel in 2015. He says after that, he suffered 12 strokes and 2 heart attacks and has lived to tell.
It's almost like exercise.
A new study out of University of California, Davis, showing that video games can help people suffering from mild depression. A New Jersey psychologist, Frieda Birnbaum, says she's not surprised to hear this.
Because it gives you control over your activity and you have opportunities to win at the gaming.
But she warns spending too much time gaming can also be isolating and can contribute to depression. So she says players need to find the right balance. Changes coming to the Oscars ceremony to help prevent embarrassing mistakes like we saw this year. Here's Jason Campadonia.
The Academy has announced that a third accountant who knows who the winners are will be seated in the control room during the show. The accountants will also not be allowed to have any electronic devices backstage, like a cell phone. La La Land was mistakenly announced as the Best Picture winner at the 89th Annual Academy Awards when one of the accountants from PricewaterhouseCoopers was taking a picture of Best Actress winner Emma Stone.
Remember, we're powered by WesternJournalism.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the four biggest risks faced by people who run their businesses from home. I'll have the five biggest workplace trends for 2017, how you should answer the question, what is your greatest weakness during a job interview, and the three reasons why small business owners use a line of credit. It's Thursday, March 30th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do, we check the weather. It's currently 45 degrees here in Flemington at 12:06. Today, it'll be sunny with increasing clouds later in the day, a high of 56 and a low of 39. For tomorrow, it'll be cooler with periods of rain throughout the day, a high of 45, a low of 39. For Saturday, we'll have a little rain in the morning, then some sun and clouds with a high of 50 degrees and a low of 35. And on Sunday, it'll be milder with clouds and sunshine with a high of 60 degrees and a low of 35. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 5870 to 20,718.02. The NASDAQ is up 7.44 to 5905.02. S&P 500 up 5.72 to 2366.83. Oil is up 82 cents to $50.33 per barrel, and gold is down $5 to $1,248.70 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. Now it's time to listen to the rest of the program on www.hunterdonchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's time to get the program started. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com as we get together every Thursday at this time for a chance to get together and chat about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough as well as on the national scene. And had a lot of emails and mail, regular mail coming in this week about what was going on in some of the hot topics in the business world. And we're getting a lot more listeners, so we're happy to hear that. And some very good questions that deserve a little bit more research, and we'll get to those topics as time permits in the coming weeks. Had a great time last Friday night. Going a little crazy in the shop with a machine down, but I knew I had to get out of the shop by 5 o'clock so that I could get over to Bridgewater Raritan High School. I was asked to announce the NFL Stars versus the Bridgewater Raritan All-Stars in a fundraising basketball game to raise money for the class of 2017. And for the past 33 years, I've been announcing basketball at the high school level, you know, at Bridgewater Raritan. And what I've noticed over time is that it seems like school spirit has kind of died out, if you will. And you might get 200, 300, maybe 400 people at a high school basketball game anymore. And I can remember when I was in high school back in the 70s, the gym was filled. They were actually turning people away at the door. And if you didn't get there early, you weren't going to get a seat. But here we were on Friday night, and the cool thing was the gym was packed, about 2,000 people just having fun, a bunch of kids looking to meet all-stars from the NFL, get some autographs, had a lot of fun. Announcing the game, pretty much taking care of business as we did, and you know, trying to raise a lot of money for the class of 2017. So that was a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, from my basketball announcing, the athletic director from Mountain Lakes High School had, I guess, seen me or heard me announce a game once, and asked our athletic director if I wouldn't mind announcing a women's lacrosse game up in Mountain Lakes High School. But it wasn't any women's lacrosse game. It was a Division I NCAA women's lacrosse game featuring the USC Trojans against the Ohio State University Buckeyes. Normally, I might not do women's lacrosse. It's just, you know, not that it's not exciting. It's just kind of out of my wheelhouse. I did do the announcing for Major League Lacrosse with the New Jersey Pride when they played here in Central New Jersey. But it's been a while. And so I drove up to Mountain Lakes and had a great time announcing that game. And it was, you know, real unique because the coach of USC actually went to Mountain Lakes High School. And, you know, this is some way of her giving back to the school. So it was good to be a part of that. I really enjoyed it. That's pretty much been my week, other than just, you know, working like a dog and getting kicked like one. I've been pushing for the last couple of weeks that we want to get more likes and followers to the show, and it's really been taking off. I'm starting to get a lot of updates as far as people that are looking at the Facebook page, following the Facebook page, etc. So we're going to try it again. Like I said, we're trying to get more likes to our Facebook page, but more importantly, followers. This way, as news becomes relevant midweek, we'll be able to share that with you. It may affect your business. It may affect someone that you know who owns a business or runs a business. You know, the one thing that still has not happened in the state of New Jersey, and here we are at March 30th, there's been absolutely no communication between the state of New Jersey and local business owners that the tax rate was reduced from 7% on the sales tax to 0.6875, 6 7/8. Nobody made mention of it unless my accountant called me 2 weeks after it had gone into effect on January 1st to say that there was this change. So I was already aware of it. We changed all of our point of sale systems to make sure that it reflected that number. And but a lot of businesses are still saying, what are you talking about? It's 7%. And so they just don't know. So chances are people are overtaxing you. So if you get a receipt and it says 7%, call them out on it and make sure that, you know, you tell them that it's that's not the current rate in the state of New Jersey. That's the type of update we want to include on our Facebook page. So if you get a chance, and if you're listening to this program, chances are you're on a computer, near a computer or something like that, log on to Facebook and then go to our new page, which is called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and then both like and follow that page. So and we'll be glad to have you there, and hopefully we'll be able to get you some more information that affects businesses in the coming weeks as well. The business quote of the week, this is a new feature that I introduced a couple of weeks ago on the program, and this is where people in business often say things, and you're like, sometimes it's this light bulb moment. You're like, wow, you know, I hadn't thought of it like that. Or it's something you've heard before, but for some reason at that particular moment in time, it's applicable to you. So this week's quote comes from Apple co-founder, chairman, and CEO Steve Jobs, who said, "Your work is going to fill a large part of your life. And the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do." Which brings up the question, how many of you actually love what they do? You know, how many people get up excited to go to work in the morning and get up, you know, ready to hit the bricks running, so to speak? So many people that I talk to are literally just plodding along through their day-to-day job. It's a paycheck, and they don't really enjoy what they do. It's not their passion. It is a job. It has benefits. At what point do you, is that enough? Or is it time to make a change? I'm not saying that you all have to run to the windows and yell you're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. But at what point do you just say, this isn't what I want to be doing at my age. I want to be doing something different. And, you know, and doing what you love, as Steve Jobs says. Because when you love what you do, it's not work. I want to make mention that the Women's Business Summit for 2017 is coming up. The theme this year is Moving Women Forward in Business. And that will be held on Tuesday, April 25th, 2017, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's going to be held up at the Hawk Point Golf Club in Washington, New Jersey. The opening speaker will be Assemblywoman Donna Simon. The keynote speaker is Kathleen McQuiggan, who is the Managing Director of PAX Elevate, Global Women's Index Fund. There'll be breakout speakers, including Mayor Janice Kovach from the town of Clinton, Maria Semple, who's from Prospect Finder LLC, and Rena Kamens from College, Career, and Life LLC. So if you are a woman and would be interested in attending this, feel free to give the chamber a call here at 908-782-7115, or you can visit the website, www.hunterdonchamber.org, to register And again, this is from everybody I've ever talked to who's participated in one of these women's business summits. They walk away empowered. They walk away feeling stronger about their abilities and feeling like they can take on the world. So if you're a woman in business, I think it's a good investment in your time to participate in the Women's Business Summit on Tuesday, April 25th, 2017 at the Hawk Point Golf Club. When we come back, going to step away for a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the four biggest risks for home-based businesses. You're listening to Take Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gonneau, with you for the next 45 minutes as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. Before the break, I teased you a little bit with the next story, and that is the four biggest risks for home-based businesses. I was speaking with somebody who works from home. They're a travel agent, works out of their house, and she didn't seem to think that she had as many risks and liabilities as a standard brick-and-mortar type business does. But there are several pitfalls that can happen, several legal issues that can happen that can affect your business. Now, solo operators often assume that working from home reduces their risk, but they face many of the same regulations, threats, and challenges that as other small business owners. Now, for a lot of self-employed pros, running a home-based business is the ideal situation. There's no additional overhead, it's a good work-life balance, and it's a very flexible dress code. But solo operators working from home face risks like any other business. And here are the top four threats that home businesses need to address in order to stay profitable. The first is understanding your costs. And this goes back to what I always say, know your numbers. Many home-based business owners miscalculate their startup costs. They may know their rent and utilities, but there are other expenses that they need to plan for, such as health insurance. The fate of the Affordable Care Act may be up in the air, but CNN Money claims it could take at least 2 to 3 years for changes to take hold. And until then, most individuals may still be required to prove that they have coverage. There's also self-employment taxes. Employers cover a portion of an employee's Medicare and Social Security taxes, but self-employed folks have to foot the entire tax bill themselves. And then business services. Small business owners often have to outsource some task, whether it's payroll or marketing, so that they can free up time for the bigger picture. You have to manage the risk. When pricing your services, remember that your fees should cover more than just your salary. You want to account for the additional expenses you take on by working for yourself, and that may include insurance, taxes, any outsourcing you may do, and travel expenses. The second risk, and this is where a lot of people make a very huge mistake, is skipping insurance. Now, according to the Insurance Journal, 75% of U.S. businesses are underinsured, and that's a big problem for small business owners who may not have enough money in the bank to cover even a minor setback, let alone something catastrophic. Underinsurance may be even more rampant among home business owners who often assume their homeowner's insurance covers their operations. Very often it doesn't. While some policies may offer a limited amount of coverage for business property in your home, like filing cabinets or inventory, most deny liability claims associated with business activities. That means you could be on the hook if, let's say, a delivery person slips on your icy sidewalk, your dog destroys your business partner's laptop, a competitor accuses you of posting libelous comments on your business's Twitter account. In order to manage the risk, the appropriate small business insurance can help fill the gaps in your homeowner's insurance. For example, you may want to consider a business owner's policy, which combines the general liability and business property protection in one affordable package. The third risk is exposing your data. Now, data breaches make headlines when they hit big-name stores, but according to Property Casualty 360, 62% of cyber attacks hit small to medium-sized businesses. The reason? Small businesses are less likely to have resources to dedicate to security, and that's true for home-based businesses as well. How do you manage the risk? To make it more difficult for a criminal to steal your data, be sure to use complex passwords and two-factor authentication for all business accounts. Regularly update your antivirus software. Download patches and updates to your operating system and software. And most importantly, encrypt your data. Data breaches can happen the old-fashioned way too, so you might also want to lock up any paper copies that contain personally identifiable information or shred documents you no longer need, particularly any documents that might have a customer's credit card information on it. And finally, the fourth risk, ignoring the rules. Now, most towns have laws that restrict how property in certain areas can be used. Even if your neighborhood is zoned for both commercial and residential use, the law may prohibit any signage, restrict the number of employees or customers allowed during the day, ban certain operations that cause a nuisance. How do you manage that risk? Well, first, you want to talk to your local planning agency to learn about the zoning ordinances in your area. If the laws impede your ability to run your business, you may need to file a variance or risk paying a fine. Zoning ordinances aren't the only rules you have to contend with. Like other businesses, your home business may need a permit or a license to operate. Laws vary by state, but some examples include general business license, home occupation permit, a sales tax permit, professional or trade licenses, health and safety permits. And finally, renters and condo owners have additional restrictions to worry about. Lease agreements and homeowners association rules may prohibit running a business from the property, so be sure to review your lease or your homeowner association rules and bylaws to see if your home business is permissible. So just a couple of things that you may not be looking at. There's a lot of people that run a small business out of their house, and they just don't realize that they're, just as liable for licenses and permits and insurances as any other business would be. So as I mentioned earlier this week, I got a couple of questions from the mailbag, and part of today's show is going to talk about social media marketing. And I got one question that really struck me, not as odd, but just in the fact that I thought it was more common knowledge. So from the mailbag, the question this week that came to us was, "Dear Jim, I hear you talk every week about a social media presence. I have to admit, I don't know what that means. Can you explain?" So what are we talking about when we mention a online presence or a social media presence? Now, every small business owner needs some form of an online presence if they want to grow, if they want to remain competitive for new and current clients. In the old days, and let's go back, say, even 20 years, most people's marketing would have been done in print or on radio or television. Now, it's kind of a digital world. Everything is online, and so searching online is the first place that many customers turn to when they're looking to hire a service provider, read a restaurant review, or compare prices of products. But a website isn't the only thing you need to maintain a healthy online presence. And so think about that for a minute. Now, you got to be a little older to understand where I'm going with this. Let's say it's 1975, and your kitchen sink springs a leak, what do you do? Typically, you went into a drawer in your kitchen, you found this big book called the Yellow Pages, and you would look up plumber. And then you would just go until somebody answered the phone. And so Bill's Plumbing gets on the phone. You say, Bill, I got a leak in my kitchen. I need you to come right now. And he's on his way. Now you have a leak in your kitchen, and all of a sudden you're looking for plumbers in my area, and it gives you a list of 10 with their phone number, with directions, with their hours, etc. So because it's gotten digital, you need to be digital as well. So with your website, if you have – many businesses have at least a generic static website. But where it could be working against you is if your website isn't mobile responsive. More and more people use smartphones to search. And if your website isn't compatible, then you're likely to lose a customer because they can't navigate your site. Now, at Crown Trophy, about 2 or 3 years ago, our website was simply just a website. We spent a ton of money to make it mobile navigable. And as a result, there were a lot more walk-in customers. There were a lot more customers who said they found us online on their phone at a baseball game or, you know, their kid's soccer game or something like that. So it's very important that your website be mobile. You also want to make sure that your business information is correct on online directories. Now, step away for a second. It's not enough to say, I checked Google and my phone number's correct, my address is correct, my hours are correct. There are so many directories out there right now. They all kind of feed off each other. So you want to make sure that you're going to each of these directories or you're assigning someone in your office to look at them and make sure that your information is correct. You need to search to see if there's any old phone numbers, incorrect addresses, or the wrong office hours are listed, and then get that corrected. If you maintain consistency, it's key in SEO ranking as well. You want to update your website regularly by adding new content, new products or services. And don't overload your homepage with details that don't matter. Keep the design clean and the content fresh. If it looks like it did in 1998, then you need to change that up too. Sometimes even a background color change is enough. If a person goes to your site on a regular basis and they see the same thing after a while, they just won't go. You also want to find out what social media platforms your customers use and then create accounts there. Now, social may seem newfangled to some, but it's where a lot of people look when they have a question about a product or customer service issue. So make sure that you're available where they are. Businesses have to be open at the convenience of the customer, not at the convenience of the business owner. And there's a lot of people that get that message wrong. So when the person wrote this, what is an online presence? It's pretty much everything that's part of your electronic footprint. If you have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, LinkedIn account, if you're on Instagram, and I would suggest that you separate the two. It's okay to have a personal Facebook page, but if you want one for business, then make a business Facebook page. Make a business Twitter account. Don't mix the two because there may be some times when you may not want your customers to know what you're doing personally. So just keep the two somewhat separate. And then hopefully that answers the question. But and again, once you start, and this is where a lot of businesses fail miserably when talking about social media. They say, well, I just started a Facebook page. And it's not necessarily so that you can create instant sales. It's so that you can keep in touch and let your customers know about any changes in your business, new products, etc. But so many times, businesses just start the page and then they forget about it. They start doing email marketing, and then they forget about it. You know, they'll put out a couple of posts, and then they say, well, this is taking a lot of time, a lot of effort. I don't know what I'm writing about. And then they'll just give up, and they stop making those posts. And as a result, the customers pretty much walk away because, you know, they're not going to bother to see what you're doing on social because you're not keeping the content fresh, updated, and relevant. So you want to make sure that once you start, you don't stop. And again, that one thing in that story that's very important is making sure that on a regular basis, every 2 to 3 months, you're checking your listings on things like YP.com, Manta, Google, Google for Business, Bing, etc. Just Google yourself and make sure that when you start seeing all the lists that it's there. And also you want to make sure that you're taking a look for any reviews, both positive or negative, and responding positively to both. Thank you for that compliment, or if there's something negative, you know, try to get the person to speak to you offline and then make that correction as you go. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about five workplace trends that may impact your business in 2017. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Mark and I work hand in hand on this, and contrary to maybe popular belief, we're partners to see that this is completed.
Senator Richard Burr talking about the Intelligence Committee in the Senate working on the investigation to Russian meddling in the election. Burr said Democrats and Republicans are both going to go where the evidence leads. White House spokesman Sean Spicer says the White House is sick of dealing with these Russia issues. He says it's been proven repeatedly there's no connection.
I get that sometimes it's frustrating to us. I believe that we want this over as much as I think some of you, but we recognize that there's a process that has to take place.
President Trump calling out some members of his own party. Trump tweeted today, "The Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on the team, and fast. We must fight them and the Democrats in 2018. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless hair. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's guaranteed. Whether you have wavy hair, tight curls, flat hair, damaged hair, Ovation has a cell therapy system just right for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com.
It's the perfect time to try Ovation Cell Therapy because Ovation is celebrating its 10-year anniversary and they're offering you 15% off everything. But the party ends this week. Go to OvationHair.com and new customers should select USA News at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Be quick. 15% off ends this week.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me this afternoon. Taking a quick look at the weather. Today it's going to be sunny with increasing clouds later today, a high of 56 and a low of 39. Presently it's 47 degrees. For tomorrow it'll be cooler with periods of rain throughout the day and a high of 45 with a low of 39. For Saturday we're going to have a little rain in the morning, then some sun and clouds with a high of 50 degrees and a low of 35. And for Sunday it'll be milder with clouds and sunshine, a high of 60 degrees and a low of 35. So get out there and enjoy yourself. I know I will because on Sunday, if it's going to be 60 degrees, it's time to fire old Dolly up and get her to shake off the rust a little bit and take my 48 Plymouth out for a little shakedown cruise as we get ready for the summer show season. So looking forward to getting that going, and hopefully it won't be too wet or rainy out there as well. So workplace trends, this is something that comes up periodically, like what's happening now that you need to prepare for. And that's typically in business. You know, when social media came out, people were quick or slow to respond and say, well, I either have to get involved in social media for my business or I don't. Businesses many years ago that had a fax machine were considered like state of the art. You know, this is where we've come from. From rotary phones to, you know, push button phones and things like that. But there are workplace trends that can impact your business as well. And we're talking more about the overall workforce and not just particular impacts that would happen by new technology or something like that. But you have to be on the lookout for these changes to company culture expectations and the makeup of the workforce that's coming in. Now, one reason that I love helping businesses improve the processes and efficiencies is learning the nuances of the organizations that I serve, their needs, their cultures, their staff. Now, workplaces in 2017 are far from stagnant. They're adapting to trends almost daily, and I believe these five trends are going to have the biggest effects in 2017. There's going to be more focus on culture. Expect companies to prioritize culture in 2017 to address their engagement and turnover issues and to become a place where people love to work. That means listening to staff to learn what keeps them engaged and motivated and then building a culture around that. There's no right or wrong way to do it. It's building on the people and the traits that make the organization unique. For many companies, that means certain perks. The foosball tables and the kegs are fun, but they're not culture. Get scaled back in favor of an increased 401k match, a director of training on staff, and opportunities for career growth. These investments in staff create an environment where people will want to work, where people feel valued, not like a means to an end. You can't fake the type of synergy that comes from that. More companies are going to ditch the annual performance review. Now, this is something I did years ago. I promised myself if I ever got into business, I would not do an annual performance review with my employees. I will do a daily performance review, weekly, monthly, etc. If you're doing a good job, I let you know it when it happens, not 11 months from now. And if you're doing a poor job, in a very nice and professional manner, I will let you know that as well. It doesn't make sense to wait 11 months to tell somebody that they screwed up, you know, in November. Fix it then so it doesn't become a recurring problem. More companies are buying into the idea that it's hard and often unfair to evaluate a year of work in just one sitting. It's almost impossible to remember everything and give an accurate assessment. Companies like GE and Accenture have already ditched annual reviews for new evaluation models. And I think we're going to see more consistent communication and on-the-spot coaching between employees and managers in 2017. There will also be improvements to the employee experience to boost the employment brand. Now, a recent study found that 83% of human resources professionals think that the employee experience is crucial to their organization's success. The employees, or the result is now a lot of companies are listening closer to what their employees want. They're creating wellness programs, better benefits, and investing in talent development. They're showing a commitment to their employees by growing their skill sets and setting them up for career growth. We also have Generation Z getting ready to join the work world. 2017 is going to be the first full calendar year where Gen Z, which are kids born after 1998, are in the workforce, with studies showing that 36% of working millennials are in managerial positions and that the majority of millennials think Generation Z is lazy. Watching these two groups interact is going to be a case study in collaboration. Both generations are the foundation of the future. How they are able to come together to solve problems will be a big focus in 2017. And of course, more tasks will end up being automated. According to a recent McKinsey study, most jobs have certain activities that could be automated, which would allow more time for higher level tasks. Financial workers, for example, spend 43% of their workday on tasks that could be automated. If these workers could automate non-client facing tasks such as routine spreadsheet analytics, they could not only spend more time engaging clients, but also increase the number of clients that they serve, resulting in higher productivity for the employee and more profit for the company. So, just a couple of things to prepare for, trends to watch in 2017, and I would like you to keep track in your workplace. Is this something, if you're the owner, is it something that you feel you need to address as far as the company culture, or are you having problems with the Generation Z employees when as they start to work with you? Are you changing the culture to meet the requests, the needs, the wants of your employees? I have one employee who's constantly complaining about the temperature in our warehouse, and it's an air-conditioned warehouse and it's a heated warehouse, but he either wants it to be hotter on cold days or colder on warm days. And we keep explaining to him every degree is a cost. You know, if I take it from 68 degrees and bring it down to 67 or 66, and he's thinking more like 62, there's a cost associated with that to air condition such a large space. I get where he's coming from, but he has to also understand where I'm coming from, that, you know, these costs offset, you know, how much I'm able to pay employees or things like that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he feels in July when it's 95 degrees, but he's working in a 70 degree space. So I'll keep you posted on that. But if you have any workplace trends that you find are happening in your business, by all means, get them to me, either an email, trophyjim@yahoo.com, or on our new Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. Let me know what's happening in your work world, And we'll address it here on the show in future episodes. There is a interview question that I absolutely hate. Not sure what human resources person came up with this or what hiring manager came up with it, but I absolutely hate the interview question when they ask a candidate, what is your greatest weakness? Very rarely are you hiring somebody for their weakness. I think what they're looking for is a little bit of soul searching, like, do you know of an area you need to improve on? But it's almost like asking the person to talk themselves out of the job. It's one of the most pointless and offensive questions that you can ask a job applicant, and yet business interviewers still ask it every day. We realize that well-brought-up people do not ask perfect strangers about their weaknesses. They don't realize that asking the question, what's your greatest weakness, marks them as just another clueless, by-the-book, human resource professional or recruiting drone. We have to feel sorry for them. The obnoxious question, what's your greatest weakness, should have been retired from the corporate and institutional recruiting playbook at least 20 years ago, if not longer. Now, here's five reasons that this is one of the worst interview questions ever asked of a job seeker. If you're an interviewer, remember that you are an interviewer. You're not a therapist. It's none of your business what someone's weaknesses are. It's cowardly to ask a personal question about someone's weaknesses without sharing your own weakness at the same time. Doing so conveys the message, I will happily ask you questions that I wouldn't mind answering myself. I'm in the power position. You aren't. It's only a cultural construct that people have weaknesses at all. Some people subscribe to that view. It's a popular view in the United States, but many people living elsewhere believe that people are perfectly equipped for their missions here on Earth. If a weakness is something you wish you could do better than you can, then there will always be millions more things that you can't do than things that you can. What makes some of these things weaknesses? If you're interested in them, you'll get better at them over time, and if you're not, you won't. What's your greatest weakness is a miserable interview question, if only because it is so trite. An interviewer who relies on lame, done-to-death interview-type questions, scripted questions, tells the world that he or she doesn't have the insight or the creativity to improve on the Mad Men-era traditional interview script, and that's sad. Now, if you're asked the weakness question on a job interview, you have two choices. You can get up and leave the interview, and there are certainly situations where that may be the best course of action, but if you want to stick around, then you have to answer the question. Most of us have heard that the best answer to what's your greatest weakness is to share a weakness that is really a strength, like a tendency to work too hard or to be too demanding of yourself. Again, those lame answers are just as bad as the original lame question. So here's another way to answer that question. When asked, what's your greatest weakness? Let's say the interviewer says, what would you say is your greatest weakness? You could respond, I used to stress about a number of things that I thought I could be better at than I was. In my first job out of college, I worried that I should be better at creating spreadsheets. I took classes in Excel and I learned a lot, but over time I realized that I didn't really care about spreadsheets. I moved closer and closer to creative work with every job I took after that. My initial concern that I wasn't good enough at spreadsheets was really just my fear of stepping into my power. Nowadays, I don't think of myself as a person with weaknesses. There are a lot of things I'm never going to be good at, and that's okay. It would be a bad use of my time to try to get better at those things. My job is to get better at the things I love to do, things I'm already good at, like art direction and design. End of story. So the person with that answer shifted the frame when he answered the weakness question in a very non-traditional way. He made the interviewer think, and that is the best thing you can do on a job interview. If the interviewer is not actively thinking, you can be sure that he or she is miles away in their mind thinking about other things. In that case, they will forget you 2 minutes after the interview is concluded. So the candidate took the conversation to a higher level when he questioned the notion of weakness rather than saying, my weakness is that I'm too conscientious about my work, like one more submissive job seeker in the endless stream of them. Now, will the interviewer like the answer to the weakness question? Doesn't really care whether the interviewer loves him or hates me. He only wants to work with people who like his brand of, say, jazz or something. Spends way too many hours at work being willing to work with people who don't get him and don't deserve him. You spend a lot of hours at work, too. Don't you deserve to work alongside people who get you? So, again, stay away from the weakness question. Answer it positively. Turn it into a strength question. And then I liked what they said there about working on making the interviewer think. That's why when I was a recruiter, the question that always put my candidates over the top was when I would have them ask, what do you need me to accomplish in the first 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year from date of hire? I'm a goal-oriented person. I need to know how I'll be measured. So could you lay that out for me? Now, all of a sudden, it puts all the focus back on the interviewer. And a lot of times, it's a roll-up-their-sleeves moment. So, well, here's where our problems are. Here's the projects that have to get done that aren't getting done. This is what we're going to assign you to. And hopefully, when you get them thinking, it creates a whole different dialogue, an off-the-script dialogue that will help you get past that other question of what are your weaknesses. Now, there is an IBM executive, her name is Harriet Green, who likes to throw a little curveball interview question that can reveal a little bit about job candidates. Now, she conducts an awful lot of job interviews as the general manager of IBM's Watson Internet of Things project, customer engagement and education. Green is building a team that will eventually include more than 1,000 people and operate in the group's new headquarters in Munich, Germany. Now, she's a seasoned businesswoman and former CEO, and she's heard her share of glib answers when interviewing job candidates. So to get past that, she likes to throw a curveball, asking every candidate this unique question, regardless of their background or expertise. She asks, the person who knows you best in the whole world, in their voice, what would they say is great about you and differentiate you, and what makes you a complete pain in the ass? Interviewees are almost always surprised by the question, but that's part of Green's strategy. You stop people talking about what they want you to hear. Harriet Green, who's the general manager of IBM, mentioned, she says, it makes candidates pause, especially those who, as Green puts it, talk in this polished, slick, Silicon Valley, East Coast, or London type of way. Unexpected questions like this one can help managers get a better sense of a person. Green tells CNBC in a phone interview from Amplify, IBM's conference on customer engagement and cognitive technology, you stop people talking about what they want you to hear. You tend to get more of the truth. You get reality when you ask that question. So, again, if you're a hiring manager and you want to throw that curveball, borrow this question from Harriet Green. The person who knows you best in the whole world, in their voice, what would they say is great about you and differentiate you, and what makes you a complete pain in the ass? Now, I'm going to dinner on Friday night with my best friend. I may just pose that question to him or have him ask it of me, or I'll ask it of him so he can, you know, shoot back to me what he thinks makes me good or makes me a pita, and then I'll see if he lets me do it to him as well. It's time for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about three reasons why small business owners use lines of credit. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on 100chamberradio.com. Like what you hear on 100 Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inchamberradio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me for another show. Looking forward to next week's show as well. And then I'm going to take 2 days off, head down to Cape May with my wife to celebrate our anniversary. So, but I did check, and I will be doing the show next Thursday as well. So if you have any questions or topics you want to talk about, by all means, shoot me an email at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Well, there are three reasons why small business owners use lines of credit. And there's a lot of business owners that don't know that this financing is available to them. Your goal should be simple, to have more cash come in than goes out when you run a business. Unfortunately, as most small business owners discover, the path to this goal is rarely smooth. Financial bumps along the way, slow-paying customers, unexpected expenses can detour an otherwise successful journey. That's why many small business owners turn to a line of credit. Now, a line of credit lets you add cash to your bank account whenever you need it. Like a credit card, you're pre-approved for a certain amount, and you can use it at any time, repeatedly up to that limit. Now, unlike a credit card, you can use it for anything, including expenses like payroll. Here are three reasons that small business owners use a line of credit to speed past the financial bumps that get in everyone's way. One, it's good financing and it's risk-free. Reputable line of credit providers will charge you only for what you use, and that makes it risk-free. If you don't use it for 3 months, you pay nothing during those 3 months. Avoid any line of credit lender who wants to charge monthly fees even if you don't use it. For example, if you draw $10,000 at 1% per week and pay it back over 6 months, you'll pay about $700 in interest. But if you add even a small fee of $20 per month over those 6 months, now you're paying an additional $120 or 18% more in fees. The worst time to shop for funding is actually when you need it. Scrambling for financing during a crisis makes you easy prey for shady lenders. Taking the time to prepare before you need to borrow allows you to negotiate from a position of strength. Many short-term lenders offer confusing terms or long-term contracts with hidden fees to lure in clients who don't have time to do their research. A dip in your cash flow usually indicates that you have other challenges, like a customer who is late making payments or a hiccup in your invoicing process. The time you spend looking for funding is time away from addressing those other problems. So get rid of stress by being proactive. Your time is your most valuable resource. Whether you're a sole proprietor or you have a dozen employees, your time is better spent on the front lines making sales instead of in the back office wrangling administrative tasks. A line of credit could bring more flexibility to your finances and prevent the headaches caused by cash flow detours. Blue Vine's Flex Credit is a fast, simple, transparent business line of credit. You can get approved for up to $30,000, usually within 24 hours, with absolutely no paperwork. And since you only pay for what you use, you can secure your finances with no risk or additional cost. So just some thoughts there on the needs for lines of credit. And again, it's amazing how many business owners I talk to that, you know, because they're customers are extending the terms from net 30 to net 60, net 90. They feel like a bank. They don't have enough money, you know, for simple things like payroll or inventory. And then, you know, they find themselves on the hook, either dipping into personal savings or something like that. And, you know, getting in trouble with the spouse, et cetera. So they want to make sure that that's when I tip them off to a line of credit. If you've been in business for about 3 years and you have a good history with your bank, you'll probably be able to get one there. And there are other online lenders that can help you out as well. So by all means, take a look at those and see if a line of credit, whether you use it or not, is available to you. Sometimes even just knowing that you have an additional $20,000 at your disposal in a reserve is enough to make you sleep easy at night. So we talked about social media before. What is social media? But can you increase sales with social media marketing? Now, even if it doesn't result in same-day sales, social media can be an important part of a customer's decision to purchase. In a recent Manta poll, 45% of small business owners said they invest marketing dollars in social media. Social media marketing can help you build awareness and engagement with customers by posting interesting content on popular platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and others. But can social media marketing really help you increase sales? Well, the short answer is yes. Social media marketing can help small business owners and contractors increase sales, but it often takes time to see positive effects. Social media marketing efforts that are done consistently over time will absolutely generate business, but it's not an overnight thing, said the author and small business expert Melinda Emerson. It takes at least 7 and as many as 21 quality interactions to turn an online connection into a paying customer. Social media credibility must be built over time. Business owners often get frustrated trying to calculate that elusive ROI, return on investment, of social media. Tools like Google Analytics can help you better understand how social media is or isn't leading to sales, as well as which platforms and posts are most effective. Make sure you understand what role your social efforts play in your customer's path to purchase, said Brian Jensen, who's the CEO of Congruent Dental or Digital. We found that for many industries, social plays more of an assist role or acting as a touch point during either the awareness or consideration phase. So again, the one thing that I've told people, and I get asked this all the time when I suggest that they put out a newsletter or regular updates using social media, is they always want to know, will this result in immediate sales? And I keep telling them, that's not why you're doing it. What you're trying to accomplish with social media marketing is creating that front of mind presence. I want you to think about that term for a minute, front of mind presence. Because what you're trying to do is just get to the point where people become so familiar with you, they become so familiar with your products or service, that when they actually do need you, you're the first person they're going to call because you are at the top of their mind, the front of mind. So again, a lot of times you will put out a social media post and somebody may come running into your store saying, oh, thank God you put out that post. I need this right now. Other times it may take a week or two, but you've reminded them, you've shown them what you do. You're constantly reinforcing that, and then at the time they need it, that's when they're going to come and purchase from you. So again, definitely something you should be doing. It's from the story we had last week, less than 8% of businesses are actually doing any form of email marketing, but something that in your business, if you want to grow, you need to be doing sooner rather than later. So get to it. All right, in sports, in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, we're down to the final four with Gonzaga, Oregon, North Carolina, and South Carolina set to play this weekend to determine who will play for the men's NCAA basketball title. In NFL news, the owners' committee has approved the move of the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas, most likely in the 2019 season. In NASCAR news, Kyle Larson won the Auto Club 400 race last weekend in Fontana, California, and holds a series point lead for the second week in a row. This week, the teams will be racing at Martinsville, Virginia. And in Major League Baseball news, opening day is just over a week away. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the program with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Mark and I work hand in hand on this, and contrary to maybe popular belief, we're partners to see that this is